Amen. We look for the return of the Messiah. We're getting closer. Things are happening around the world that are setting things up for exactly what the book of Revelation predicted. So I'm going to ask you tonight to turn with me to Revelation chapter 15. Revelation chapter 15. We're continuing our study of the vial judgments. Now, an angel brings each one of these judgments down to the earth. And, you know, once again, can't hurt to mention that the people on the earth deserve it. I said chapter 15, didn't I? It's chapter 16. We're looking tonight at the sixth vial. And we're looking at something that people would put a label on and say it's political. Because China is coming across. China wants world dominion. Russia is coming down. Russia wants political dominion. We have other nations involved that are there simply to survive and are saying, let us alone. We want to be our own independent states. But all of them are converging on a place that the Bible calls Megiddo. And it has been the scene of many international battles already. But this one is the major one, Armageddon. And as all these nations converge on this one place, what you'll find is that the nations are fighting over racial issues, political issues, personal independence. All these things are wrapped up into one battle. And I think every nation in the world knows that it's coming. The United States, the Pentagon, has already laid out what they would do if they were involved. They already know. Now, they have to keep changing it every few years. Quite a few years ago, I saw some of the material from their Armageddon file. And it was interesting how they decided this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to win. But you know, there are no earthly winners. Nobody is going to win from any nation on the earth. And that's because God is against them all. They refuse to repent over sin. And it doesn't matter how righteous they think that their cause is. And let's face it, every nation, when they get into war, thinks that their cause is right. Nobody goes to war thinking that their cause is wrong. But here, all these high self-esteem soldiers are coming together. And the way is being prepared. God is doing this. Let's go down to chapter 16 and verse 12. It says, "And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared." Now, the kings of the east refers to the oriental nations, whether it's Japan, Korea, China. These nations will have a very heavy impact. And they're going to come across, and I don't know, can we have our slide up here? Okay. They're coming from this area over here, and they're going to come across, and the thing that stops them is right here. It's in Iraq. It's the Euphrates River. And it presents a very difficult challenge for them because they've got to cross this very, very quickly. When they come across, they're going to have a 200 million man army. We'll get to that in a little bit. 200 million men army that has to get across and down to Megiddo quickly, because you have Russia from the north, they're coming down. You have probably a couple of million soldiers coming from the European Union. You have people coming from the south, and it is whoever gets to Armageddon first, is in their thinking, and can establish strongholds, underground tunnels, whatever, they're the ones that they think are going to win. So this army from the east is coming across, and they want to be there first. The Euphrates River is a hindrance. It's going to slow them down. Could they get across? Sure. But it might take weeks or months in order to get across. And so the Lord says, I don't want that. I want them all to come down at one time. I want them all to be there so I can destroy them all. And this sixth angel dried up, essentially, the great river Euphrates, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Now, the Bible mentions something, and you may have come across it. It's not in this particular verse, but you'll come across it if you study Bible prophecy. The phrase is the times of the Gentiles. And it is mentioned in the Old Testament. It's mentioned in the New Testament. What does that mean? Well, the times of the Gentiles began right after Adam started having a family. And when that took place and the population grew, you have millions, perhaps billions of people on the face of the earth when God said, I'm going to judge this earth. And God sent the flood during Noah's time. They had government. They had to. And now, not all government is bad. By the way, if you have a family, you have government in that family. It might be right, it might be wrong, but you have government. You have somebody who has more authority than others. And then you have others that have to submit to that authority. All right, that's government. That's government. Now, the times of the Gentiles is going to end very quickly in Bible prophecy. At Armageddon. They all have their different ways of doing things. But if you're a student of history, one of the things that you learn is that there are all different types of government. There are dictatorships, there is socialism, there is communism. They're all different types. The Romans had a type that went around the world. The Greeks had a type that was very effective around the world. And every different type of government that could be imagined has already been tried by man. Noah should have learned. Noah should have taught his sons. But if he did, it didn't work. It didn't stick. Because before very long, after his sons went to different areas of the world and repopulated the earth, before very long, they followed in the same path the Bible calls the times of the Gentiles. I think it's interesting to see how people get frustrated with one type of government or another. Democracies usually don't last more than 250, 275 years. They usually can't make it. Socialism doesn't last even that long. Communism lasts even less. And so when you look at these, well, even dictatorships, they don't last very long either. Because man is the one behind them. Man is the one who wants to rule. And some rulers, some types of governments are more gentle than others. Some are merciless and tyrannical, and they kill half their people. But again, that's man's government. all these governments are coming together into one place, Armageddon, and God is going to wipe them all out because it's time for a better system. It's time for a king, King Jesus. And he will come and he will rule the earth with a rod of iron. We won't have any election scandals. No fraud, because nobody has to vote. Jesus will rule, period. And there is no need to consider campaigning. By his sheer holiness and power and God-given authority, Jesus will rule over the earth for 1,000 years. But in order to get there, all the opposition has to be wiped out, because these people really oppose Jesus. And they're all coming together to see which one of them will dominate the world. This is in their thinking, and it's wrong. But I want you to consider several things from this short verse. One is that the Euphrates River is going to be dried up, that it was a hindrance to all these armies coming together. Now, there are other ways to get down to Armageddon. People could come across the Persian Gulf. People could come down the Baltic Sea. People could come across from the Mediterranean. And you would expect that out of all the waterways that surround this general area, that you'd find many troops finding their way by way of sea. But that isn't going to happen, because God already wiped that possibility out. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8, and let's take a look at verse 8. It says, the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. That's a lot of ships. One third of the world's navy gone. When we see this tragedy that takes place, that God brings as a judgment, it's dwarfed by Revelation chapter 16. Let's go back there for a minute. The second angel, now again, this is a second vial. This is different than what we just read in Revelation 8. In verse 3 it says, the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea. It became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. Whatever ships were out there, they had to be manned. But every person there died. So, despite all the waterways that could have been used to bring thousands and tens of thousands of soldiers to this area of Megiddo, it just didn't work, because they didn't have the manpower. They didn't have the ships. They couldn't do it. So this is a land war. Navies are not going to be involved. This is all on land. And we have all these nations converging together. You can read Ezekiel 38 and 39. It deals with part of this going into Armageddon. There's nuclear warfare. There are these nations coming against each other for a time. And then they join together to come against the Lord, because they see him coming. Now, there are scriptures, and some of you who study prophecy, you know this. where it says that every eye shall see him? All right, that doesn't happen at the rapture. If you're saved and you're part of the bride of Christ, when the trumpet sounds and the Lord gives word, we're caught up in what? The twinkling of an eye, blinking of an eye. And we're gone. We're out of here. The Bible says that we will meet the Lord in the air. And, you know, who's going to see all this? I mean, here you're not resurrecting a lot of physical bodies. The Bible says that we're going to be changed into spiritual bodies, bodies like his. And so people aren't going to be able to see much of this at all. Now, it may be possible that satellites will notice something, but after all the wars going on, most of the satellites will be knocked out of the heavens anyway. They're going to be gone. There's going to be a very serious judgment that takes place, and people are drawn together to fight each other. Yeah, the Russians will be fighting the Chinese. The Chinese will be fighting everybody. The Egyptians, the people in North Africa, will be coming up with their armies. People from Europe will be coming across. The European Union, the seed of the beast. All these things are converging together so that they can find out who's going to dominate, who's going to rule us. Let's go back to Revelation 16 for a minute. Because that's really a stupid idea. It's absurd. First of all, you're not going to have any United Nations rules of law like there are today, rules of war. It's not going to be there. People are going to do what they're going to do. And nobody's going to tell them otherwise. But gigantic armies. I mean, imagine 200 million in this army. That's almost all the people that are left, all the men that are left from China. All of them are going to have to come across. Why? Why would a person be motivated to do something like that? Some of you who are observant, you see the media, you read what is going on, you're catching something. You're noticing that a lot of the things that are being decided by governments don't make any sense. For an example, the COVID relief package. One nation in that relief package gets $1.4 billion given to them. The other day I sat down to find out what's the population of that country. And I found out that if that $1.4 billion was to be given to every citizen of that country, every citizen would get over $746. What do they want to give to American citizens? $600. And that's just one country. Does it make any sense? Where's the logic? Where's the reasoning? And it seems to be gone. It seems to be gone. Well, we have politicians having huge parties at restaurants that are closed down. But they want it. They want to have a good time. But they don't want anybody else to eat in a restaurant. And photographs taken of these parties that are largely attended by politicians, the photographs taken of these people show them partying without masks, with no social distancing. And yet they want to close down churches. Does it make any sense? No. No. When something doesn't make any sense, it is either because the people who entertain the idea are so stupid, or they have been deceived. We've all seen the cartoons. An angel on this shoulder, a little devil on the other side. And they're all talking to the same person. Then the person has to make a choice. Who do I follow, the angel or the devil? I think we have the answer when we read verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon. Who's the dragon? The devil. The devil. And out of the mouth of the beast. Who's the beast? The Antichrist. And out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Lots going on right now. Some of the biggest deceivers in this earth are people who claim to be Christians. People who gathered around President Trump and prayed and said, "Oh, I had a vision that you were going to be the president." Well, guess what? There are millions of books sold over the past 4 years of people who don't even believe in God who predicted the same thing. So does that make them more intelligent? No. These are spirits that are deceiving people, pulling them into certain things that if they had any sense, they wouldn't get involved in. But they get involved in them because they have been deceived. They've been deceived. Tremendous amount of deception going on in this country right now. Right now, if you go over to the West Coast or Left Coast, whichever you want to call it, you'll find many churches closed. This morning, tonight, Wednesday, they're not going to open. There are many churches in this country from coast to coast that have had to close permanently because they've been deceived. They have come to the conclusion that they must obey all the laws of men. Now, some of you may recall that it wasn't too long ago, well, I guess it's been a few years, when the Marion County Commission wanted to tax churches as businesses. And that means every cent that somebody gave to the church, 20% of whatever they gave had to go back to the government. And a few of us as pastors gathered together, we prayed, we presented our case. And to make a long story short, we won, and they refused to tax us. But while we gathered together and we met in a restaurant and we talked, one of the pastors objected and said, "You know what? Whatever the government says to do, we must do. Whatever they say." And they quoted a scripture out of context. It says, "Obey all the laws of man." Did Paul obey all the laws of man? How about Peter and John? Didn't Peter and John get thrown into prison, their lives threatened because they preached the word of God? Every one of the apostles was martyred, with the exception of John, who ended up in the island of Patmos as a slave. All the other apostles were martyred because they disobeyed the laws of man. I asked this preacher, I said, okay, hypothetically, and at that time this sounded ridiculous. Suppose the government came along and banned Bibles and said that they hurt people. They hurt people's feelings because they call people sinners. So what if the government banned the Bibles? Would you go along with that? And he said, I would have to obey what God says in his word, and that is to obey all the laws of man. And you talk about deception. You know, when you read a verse in the Bible, you better get the context. You better find out what the rest of the Bible says about that. And believe me, there are preachers today who don't bother to do that because they're so lazy. What do we do in the end times before Jesus comes? I mean, it's going to get pretty bad. It's going to get pretty bad. We're looking at Armageddon, where almost the entire population, remaining population of the world, is going to be annihilated, wiped out. These people who participate in this have been pulled in by deceiving spirits. Deceiving spirits. Oh, they're going to be so active. This is why I mentioned this morning. You need to be as close to the Lord as you can be, because there are going to be deceiving spirits out there in this world. There are going to be all sorts of people who claim to be prophets of God, who have dreams and visions, and they're going to deceive the world. Jesus warned about it. If you have a pencil and paper, read this in Mark chapter 13, Matthew chapter 24, Luke chapter 17, and Luke chapter 21. Deception. How do people get deceived? They get deceived by spirits. It's not taking away from the fact that some of them really are stupid. We look at verse 15, where the Lord gives a command to that 144,000 that are left, and maybe some of the converts that they had among the Jewish people. In verse 15, he says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he, who's it talking about here? The one who came as a thief, Jesus. He gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. Armageddon. Why did the Holy Spirit make a comparison between these spirits and frogs? What's the purpose behind there? Well, there must be some similarity after a good rain. If you've ever walked outside your door, maybe on a porch and sat down, or perhaps in a Florida room, you can hear the frogs. And they have a massive chorus of frogs who come together, and they're all croaking at the same time. Making a noise is unlike any other. And here they are, making all this noise, this harmonizing chorus. Then all of a sudden it stops. Have you ever been out there and listened, and then all of a sudden it just goes dead silent? The reason is, there was a power greater than theirs, and they were afraid. Could be an alligator. Could be some birds. Could be any number of things. But they had greater power than the frogs. And when they came on the scene, there was sudden silence. Now, even though the chorus of frogs can be heard, it was something you couldn't interpret. You could sit there and listen all the time. And, you know, sometimes if those frogs get going for a while, you can almost hear words. But they're not. They're just frogs doing what frogs do. Then you have these spirits of frogs coming out to every nation on the face of the earth, deceiving the leadership, pulling them into war. An idea that says, we want our system, we want our authority over everybody else. Doesn't make any sense to do it that way, but they're going to be deceived into thinking that they can do that. Now, the Bible tells us that children of Israel are in trouble. Politically, right now, they're going to have to hold another election. They have some problems. And some of the leadership, and I think in particular Benjamin Netanyahu, takes his cue from people who believe Scripture. And it's because of that that they have been able to protect themselves on the northern boundaries. Because the Bible said, look out for Syria. Look out. So they have made the Golan Heights a military camp to protect the rest of Israel. They have, by the wisdom that God gave to them, not believed the Palestinians and Hamas, all these different military groups that wanted to destroy Israel. But what happens if Netanyahu is not voted in again? And there are others there who say, you know, we need to believe these people because they don't have a nasty bone in their bodies. They are kind, generous people who just want to live in peace. Could that be the work of an evil spirit? Could be. What about if a politician in the United States says, you know, the Chinese aren't bad people. They don't want to force us into communism. They don't want to cause any war or any difficulty with us. We need to make friends with them, and whatever they want, hey, just give it to them. Could an evil spirit do that? Watch for it. Watch for it. When the Bible talks about the end times and Armageddon, it's talking about the time when all the evil spirits in every country are following these huge armies into one place. And the judgment that will come is because these people listened not to God, but instead to evil spirits. They didn't want to hear from God. They want Him removed from their culture. In India today, the main political party over in India is trying to get India declared as a Hindu nation, exclusively Hindu. They want to drive out anybody of any other belief. They have encouraged horrible atrocities against believers in Jesus. They've encouraged that. On one hand, they say, we have religious freedom. But what they mean is only religious freedom for Hindus. Nobody else. And so churches are burned, pastors are killed, their families maimed. All this is going on today. America is racing toward a secular society as fast as they can. They want to remove any mention of God from history. And yet our nation was founded upon faith in God. And as we saw this morning in Sunday school, I shared with you a writing from John Adams, who said, We have no sovereign but Jesus. We have no king but God. And various others took note of that. Even our enemies, those who came from the UK or England over here by ship to fight against us, even they recognized that the king of this country, this is back then, the king of this country was God. And they wrote about it. But your children and your grandchildren will not hear such things, because God has been erased from the history books. We have governors who literally hate God. They hate anything related to God. They want all mention of God, every cross, the Ten Commandments, anything related to the Bible. They want it removed so that a generation of young people can be raised on secular beliefs. Atheism. Where does that logic come from? Because it's not honest, is it? They're erasing what really happened. They're trying to remove true history and make up their own. I mean, I read a piece recently where some of the kids were being indoctrinated that Muslims played a major part in the Declaration of Independence. And this is what they're being taught in public school today. Where does all this come from? How can a person go to sleep at night and consider themselves honest people when they do things like that? How can teachers teach? Because most of the teachers are old enough to know the real history. How can they go to sleep at night knowing that they are deceiving their students? How can they sleep at night? Evil spirits. Evil spirits. And it is this deception that evil spirits make that bring all these nations together to a place called Megiddo for a battle that will be called Armageddon. These spirits are real. These spirits are real. You find any place that is being effective for the Lord, you're going to find the devil sending as many evil spirits to attack those people as he possibly can. Why? Because he already won a lot of the churches. He doesn't have to do anymore. The people are convinced that they don't need to stand up for the Lord. They're convinced that the Bible is filled with errors. Convinced that evolution is true and that science has the answer for everything. They're convinced. So why does the devil have to do any more work? He doesn't. What he does is to focus attention, bringing demons to attack people so that the power of prayer no longer works. This is important. This is important. Tonight, if you hold a grudge against somebody, and the Bible warns against that, I can tell you a number of scriptures on it. If you hold a grudge against somebody and claim to be a Christian, your fellowship with the Lord is done. I mean, even David noticed this. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And the devil can actually make up situations in a person's mind. We live in a high-tech society. Let me tell you something. The demons know all about high-tech. And just as people who are involved in high technology now, and I'm going leap years away from Photoshop, they can take your face, your mannerisms, and they can create a video of you trying to rob a bank. Doesn't take very much for them to do it. The devil can give some people dreams. Again, steps above Photoshop. And before very long, when the person wakes up, they have an attitude toward another Christian. Over something that never happened, that never existed, and yet the person feels that it's real. I've known of Christians who have held grudges and really felt bad against other Christians because of some gut feeling. Well, get the devil out of your gut. Because those are spirits. Those are spirits. We need fellowship with the Lord if the Lord's going to work through us, right? Amen. If you're not right with God, you're not going to have that fellowship. And you're not going to have that power to be able to deal against these spirits. Three spirits, different types. One from the dragon, one from the Antichrist, the other from the false prophet. They go around the world and deceive leaders who are supposed to be the smartest among the people. They deceive them. Well, what is deception? Giving a false idea. Giving a false idea. And so you have a 200 million man army coming from the east, going over India. We'll get to this, what they do there. And all the time, the people believing a falsehood that was there given by an evil spirit. We're in the last days. We can expect this. It's already begun. It's already begun. We need the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, not the deception of an evil spirit. What we need, the fellowship of God's people coming together, recognizing what time we live in, and knowing how the devil is going to try to work against the things of God. Hey, don't participate with him. Don't be an instrument of him. We should be instruments of God. And when that happens, God's people work together and accomplish great things. I know of a couple pastors, and I'll close with this. I know of a couple pastors who bought into an idea back in the probably late 60s that said that it's important for every church to have thousands of people. And so they worked toward that, not realizing that some of the shenanigans that they were pulling was actually hurting the work of God. And they would get people to come to the front every Sunday and join the church, shake hands with the preacher, and go away thinking, number one, they were saved. Number two, that they were profitable members of that church. Very few really were. But thousands of people were deceived into thinking that that's all it took for salvation. That's all it took to be right with God. And before very long, those churches died because people looked at the lives of those people who said they were Christians and they were members of that church, and they said, hey, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be one. I'm sure some of you have already heard that. And these churches died. On the other hand, there are some churches that every time they have the Lord's Supper, they bring a mirror and they look at themselves and they almost burst out crying because they say, why would God die for me? I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. And then as they submit to the Spirit of God, they find themselves loving one another more, finding things that they can do for the glory of God, helping one another, encouraging one another, sharing the testimonies of what God has done for them with as many people as they can. Those churches survive and prosper and glorify the Lord. And they sure scare the devil away. They make it tough for evil spirits to be anywhere around. They have absolute faith in the one true only God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you tonight. We're going to be looking, by the way, at Armageddon in great detail. We're going to be looking at the maps and the military involvement and what effect that has on the populace. We'll get into that. But tonight, I want you to leave here with a commitment to the Lord. Because if you're not committed to the Holy Spirit, then the devil has his foot in the door already. You got to get him out. You got to make sure that the Holy Spirit is the one that you're listening to, that the Spirit of God is the one who's going to empower you, no matter what the devil says. When you leave here tonight, I want you to leave with the realization we're getting close to the time the Lord is coming. Now, I know some of you had visitors. It's the holidays. I've been around long enough that I know how this works sometimes. People say, you know, so-and-so is supposed to be here on such and such a day. And, you know, most people are procrastinators. Are you one? Do you wait until the day before somebody's supposed to arrive to get the whole house clean and then knock yourself out trying to do it? But then there are others who aren't procrastinators. And they say, I can do a little bit today, a little bit then, a little bit later, a little bit later. So finally, when my guests arrive, everything will be spick and span. Everything will be ready for them. Jesus is coming. He's going to visit this world. He's going to stop in the middle of the clouds, the Bible tells us. And we're going to be caught up to be with him in the clouds. And the Bible says, so shall you ever be with the Lord. We could say, Lord, take me tonight. But we still have so much to do. we still have people to be reached. You know, the Lord isn't going to take his bride until every person who could become a part of that bride gets saved. So the very fact that you and I are here tonight is evidence that there are still souls that can be saved. Now, no matter how hardened people are today, there are still people who will break away from the world's ideas and say, I'm looking for something better. And if you're saved here tonight, you have that something better. You've got Jesus. And the way that you got saved is the way everybody else gets saved, is by repenting of your sins and giving your heart by faith to the Lord Jesus. We got a job to do this week. Let me encourage you. Don't wait till the last minute. Do what God wants you to do every day. Let's bow in a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you for each one that's here tonight. Lord, your word tells us so many things that are yet to come. And Lord, I personally am so glad I'm not going to be here for so many of those things in the book of Revelation. It must have been very hard for John even to see what you're going to bring to pass. But Father, for us that are down here, waiting for your return, waiting for you to come in the clouds, Lord, I pray that we be listening to your Holy Spirit and not the excuse-making of Satan's spirits. Help us, Lord, to fulfill all your will in each one of our lives. So when it is time for that trumpet to sound and that voice to say, come up here, we'll be ready. Help us to be ready, Lord, tonight and every day. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Trust we'll see you Thursday.